Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
The Bert Show.
Pretty sure I know how live radio works. It's just that, there are people coming and going from the show all the time. There are people that were listening earlier that can't listen now. Some of you guys are listening right now that didn't hear everything earlier. So what we normally like to do when we are talking about one storyline throughout the day is recap the entire thing for you before we go into the new content. We can't do that today. This storyline with Abby in London and linking up with this guy that she had a chemistry with months ago and then going back and taking a shot. If you missed any of that, we can't recap it. It would take the rest of the show before we get into the new stuff.
It's so many twists and turns and ups and downs.
This is not a gimmick or anything to get you to listen to the podcast, but honestly, you're going to have to listen to the podcast if you're interested in this today.
That's so funny because in my family group chat right now, my mom is texting everybody in the family who's invested in what's going on, and she's like, everyone turn on the Bert Show right now. Abby's doing the final end to what the story is, and I'm literally in my family group chat. They owe me nothing. And I'm like, don't listen to this unless you have listened to the first three parts yet. Yes. It won't make any sense for you. Go listen to it on the podcast on Spotify or Apple or whatever.
Right. So if we were going to do a 15-second recap of just the last one, there you are hanging out with this guy. Things are going absolutely fantastic. You guys are buzzed. He goes your way. You go your way. And then he starts sending you gibberish WhatsApp messages, and then there's some confusion.
There's some confusion with the text that he sent me where he basically sent me a bunch of gibberish and then said, I would love to know what this is about. And I'm thinking, oh, he just forgot about what those texts meant. And I laugh it off and I go, huh, you and me both. And then he doesn't say anything. And we had made plans to see each other on Saturday. So when I don't hear from him all day Friday, I'm kind of like, this is quite the cliffhanger. Like, what's going on? Like, what do we have to discuss? And I get no answer, and I basically just say, I think I misinterpreted what you said. I would love to know what this is about. You must have thought this was a hookup. I thought this was, you know, more romantic vibes.
My initial thought, prediction in my head was, oh my God, he found out that you do a morning show, and he went on and listened and has listened to this whole storyline. He's wondering if this is just manufactured for a story.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, he still doesn't know that you're in radio?
That's funny. That's Kaylee's exact prediction in the back. And I will say that never came up once.
So, if you're with each other so much over the course of that 24, 48 hours, the job never comes up? Like, he doesn't ask what you do, or that just doesn't, it never comes up?
I think that was a part of the appeal of when I went out with him, is that's something I've really struggled with dating in Atlanta, is that I'm a very easy Google search for somebody that lives here. And it creates a very uncomfortable power dynamic that I've had a hard time accepting, because I think it's important to accept it and to not complain about it, because this is just what I signed up for. Like, if I'm going to be open and honest, people are going to A, be intimidated about the publicity and be turned off by that, or B, they're going to know everything about me before I even step in front of them.
Did you find yourself purposely avoiding a conversation about what you do for a living? Because it seems like it would just come up.
The first time we met, we talked about it, but like, the Europeans do not talk about work. Mm-hmm. And that's even with the friends that I met. Like, I would be like, oh, so what do you guys do for work? And they'd be like, I'm a something analyst, and then move on. Like, they think it's very boring.
It's an American thing, because what we like to do is we subconsciously like to test each other. Like, where are we? Is this person good enough for me to talk to? Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't find that in a lot of cultures and outside the country.
So I'm wondering if at the end of your all second date, and it was another like incredible date, and he walked you back to your hotel because you asked him to walk you back to your hotel to get back there safely, that he had built some expectation up in his head that he was going to come upstairs and you guys were going to have, like, you know, a magical night or whatever. What would they say on The Bachelor? You go back to the...
Oh, yeah. If you want to forgo your individual rooms and...
The fantasy suite.
The fantasy suites. Yeah. And to an extent, like, when he was like upset when I turned him down, I kind of got that to a point. I'm like, he's a dude. He's drunk. I get it. I'm not going to like hold this over your head.
No, totally. And I'm not, I'm not faulting anybody with how they handled that situation, but I'm wondering if, because of like the copious amounts of alcohol that you guys had, that when he was walking away, he started to get it in his head, like, so what is this? Like, what are we doing here? And that's why he sent that WhatsApp text.
And that's why I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Like, I'm not holding any anger towards him. I'm just trying to figure out, are we going to see each other again? And if we do, is it going to be just as good as it was the last couple of times? Or is it going to feel like things have taken a turn to where he's kind of like, he still put me in that box and I'm still kind of trying to suss it out to see if there's like a romantic future here.
Okay.
So that's where we're at. There's the 4.5 minute recap of that. So basically now we're at a point where we're texting and he's like, I say, are we going to ever see each other again? Like, what are we doing? And he's like, you can come to this pub that I'm going to with my flatmates tonight. Would love to see you. And so I'm like, okay, good. We're back on a good foot. I'll go hang out with my friends tonight at a cocktail bar in Soho. I'll take an Uber down to his neighborhood. It'll be great. Great way to end the story. So I end up going down to meet him at this pub, like in another part of London. And the line is crazy, crazy long. So he comes and finds me at the front. He's like, listen, like this line is too long. Just hop the fence. I'll cover you. And so I'm like, okay. And he's like, it's my final night in London. I'm like, what the hey? So he's like,
you start scaling a wall like a spider monkey?
It's just like a ledge. It's not like a big fence. And he goes, but you have to be subtle about it. And I look at him and I was like, have you ever known me to be subtle? And then he kind of rolls his eyes and like, just hop over the fence. So I hop over the fence. His flatmates are behind him. Immediately the bouncer kicks us all out.
Oh no. Whoa,
really?
Yeah. So now we have to hop the fence back and they're like, you guys can't come back in here anymore. And so now I feel horrible because here I am, this random American that's just shown up to see this guy, these two boys who have no idea who I am, have no investment in this. Like, now we have to change pubs. So now we go to a different bar and I feel so bad that I'm like, you guys, let me get y'all around a shot. So I get them a shot of tequila and we're all riffing. I'm like, oh, this is actually really, really great. Like, I'm really getting on with the two guys. I'm joking with them about how there's a height requirement for their friend group because they are all 6'7", 6'6", former rugby players. And it's going really well until...
Oh, no.
This is where it turns. So we're standing there and we're in front of his friends, and this kind of all has to do with something that I was wearing that night. And it brought back memories. Two things that happened this night brought back memories of things that I kind of justified or kind of ignored the first couple times that we had met. And this time it hit a little different, I guess, with the context of how the night ended on Thursday. I think I was still kind of like clocking that information as like, okay, this is something that happened. This is maybe an expectation he has. I need to like kind of clock this. So I'm standing with these guys, and something that I had noticed on the dates that we have been on is like, yes, he's very affectionate and touchy in a way that like is so made me feel like so like protected and cherished. But then I would say progressively as we would get drunker, it went from being like affectionate to what I would call handsy.
Gropey.
And I think there was a part of me that's like, don't be a prude, Abby. Like maybe this is just my avoidant attachment style coming out. Like maybe I just need to be more comfortable. Like maybe, you know, this is just what couples do, I guess. Like, you know, he's excited. He's a drunk boy and you know, he's excited about me. I'm a cute girl and we like each other. And he's just, you know, he's drunk and he's getting handsy. But I'm wearing a skirt this time around, and we're in front of his friends in a crowded bar.
You're wearing a what?
Skirt. A skirt with shorts underneath.
Got it.
So I'm wearing a skirt. And immediately, I've been there like 2 minutes. We just took this shot, and all of a sudden, his hand just goes up my skirt, my skirt, in front of everybody. And I look at him, I'm like, hang on. Like, I'm flashing everyone. He goes, no, your jacket's covering it. I'm like, no, put your hand down. And so he does that, and it kind of progressively gets a little bit more like, grabby throughout the night. But again, I'm kind of like pushing it off. I'm like, whatever. Like, he's just an excited boy. And, you know, eventually the guys leave and he goes, let's have one more fun night. Let's go to this club. I'm like, okay. He's like, I'm so excited. You know, Margot Robbie used to go to this club all the time. So I'm like, okay.
Okay. So now at this point, you've got a decision to make because you're turned off by the handsiness, but you're like, you know, you're just trying to. You're making excuses for it.
I'm kind of justifying it because then he stops and then, you know, then he's being cute and he's like kissing me on the forehead again. I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, he just needed to be told to like stop. He's just, again, drinking too much. He's really excited or whatever.
Or maybe he was trying to show off in front of his flatmates.
And so that made me feel some type of way too. I'm like, now this feels gratuitous for you. Now this, I start to feel a little bit less than. I feel a little used. So then we go outside and he's like, I'm going to call us an Uber to go to this club. I'm like, perfect. Would love to share the Uber with you. He goes, no. We're talking to these two guys and he's like, I'm going to get these guys to pay for our cover charge at the next place. I'm like, oh, sick, cool. So we get in the car, we get out of to the club. Those two guys bolt, we never see them again. And he's like kind of visibly upset that they like aren't paying our 15-pound cover charge for each of us. And I'm like, no worries, I got this. We get in line. You know, things are back to normal. He's hugging me around the neck and, you know, we're standing, we're being like the obnoxious couple in line at Disney World. And we get in, I immediately put my card down. It's like 30 pounds for us both to get in. I'm like, don't worry, you just get the drinks or whatever.
What's
it's
that,
fine.
Like 35 bucks?
Yeah, for drinks in England, it was like 10 pounds for us both to drink. Like, it's pretty cheap.
But a pound is equivalent to a dollar plus, right?
So if it's 26 pounds, it was probably $33 okay. for me to get in. $33 for me to get into this club. So we get into the club. And we immediately go to the bar. He's like, what do you want? And I'm like, I've been drinking tequila all night, tequila soda. So he gets a beer and he gets me a gin and soda, which I was kind of like, that's weird. I've been drinking tequila all night. Like, this is kind of random. And then he looks at the price and he goes, why'd you get such an expensive drink? And I go, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. So then we go to the dance floor. We're dancing. And I'm kind of noticing that he's just not, I think one of the things that was so endearing about him was when we first went out, it was like, if we were in a crowd, he was looking out for me. If someone stepped on my toe, he was going to say something about it. Like, it was very like protective energy. And now I'm like feeling like it's not headed that way. He's still being kind of grabby. He's not really like looking out for me. And I'm literally getting shoved. Like, I'm this 5'3" person in a crowd of like 6-footers getting pushed back and forth. And I'm very visibly uncomfortable. And I look at him and I was like, can we go stand somewhere else? And he kind of rolls his eyes and like, sure, whatever. I'm going to go get another drink. So he's finished his beer at this point. We go to the bar. And so at this point, I'm like kind of ready to go home. And we're standing at this bar. And he looks at me. He goes, I'm going to run to the bathroom. Just grab me whatever beer. And I was like, okay. And I'm standing there. And I'm thinking about how many times he's done that the past couple times we've hung out, where he would just mysteriously go somewhere to the bathroom or wherever and say, get me whatever drink. And I'm thinking, oh, this is what couples do. We split. He gets around, I get around. He gets around, I get around. But with the context of the gropiness and now thinking about how many times I've bought him a drink and how angry he got at the people who didn't want to pay our cover charge, I'm like, now I'm starting to feel a little used financially. And if this was a show, it's almost like you could just see the camera zooming in on me as I'm kind of like just standing off, staring, thinking of every time that it's happened. And I'm starting to feel a little icky, like I can just feel his hands on me and it doesn't feel good. And he's in the bathroom and I'm like, okay, when he comes back, just try and put on a good face. And then I go home in like an hour. And so he comes back and he looks at me, he goes, you didn't get me a beer. And I go, well, the bartender hasn't come to me yet. And he goes, go, call the bartender over. And I was like, you want to, I still have my gin and soda. I had like two drinks of, I was like, you get the bartender. So he gets the bartender. He grabs a beer or he asks for a beer. And then he looks at me, he goes, what do you want? And I was like, I don't need another drink. And he goes, but you're getting this round. And I'm like,
what?
No, I'm not. I don't need one. Get your 4-pound beer. I'm really good. And he rolls his eyes. He slams his card down on the card reader. And this is where it ends for me. He puts his card down and he's huffing and puffing. And then he grabs the card reader. And after he puts his card down and it's taken it and he's ready to give it back and he gets his beer, he slams the card reader down and I flinch. And I have this moment of where I've spoken to women before who have talked about experiencing men who are kind of aggressive and violent. And I will never forget what and I'm not saying this is domestic violence, but I talked to a domestic violence expert about this at one point. She said, a lot of times men will hit something else before they hit you. And I didn't even take a beat. He slammed the card reader down and I took off and I didn't look back. Until I ran into a wall and then I found a bouncer because now I'm afraid. And I asked the bouncer to escort me out and I get in an Uber and I go straight to the hotel. And it takes 25 minutes for him to say something over WhatsApp. He goes, WTF, where are you? You ran away? ? Calls me. I decline. Calls me. I decline. Calls me. I decline. Calls me. I decline. And I get back to my hotel room and I am just like, I never want to be within 5 feet of this guy again. I don't want to see him. I don't want to touch him. I get in the shower and I just feel like I can't get the feeling off of me of him touching me. I just sit in the shower for 10, 15 minutes. I get back in my bed and I delete the message. I don't want him to, I want him to know that I'm not opening that message. I'm done. And so I know this is a really dark ending to what was so exciting of a story, but I just found it really funny that when I first messaged him on Hinge, there was a question he had asked me. And the question was, what gets you obsessed with a guy? And I didn't have an answer. I was like, first of all, this is kind of forward. And I said, I don't know. It's TBD. And I would go out with that guy later that night. And what got me so obsessed with him was like how cherished I'd felt, how taken care of I'd felt, how protective I felt. And then for the same guy to then make me feel like that, you know, only on the third date was jarring. And I've had so many women be so excited about this story, and me included. Like, I'm like, wow, this is a really cool experience. Like, I'm kind of living the rom-com that everyone's so excited about. And I was really hoping it would end well, you know, for me, but also, you know, for everyone to believe in love. Cause I want there to be hope out there that something special really exists. And I'm like, even if this isn't my guy, like I still hope it's like a good, fun, you know, piece of hope for people to cling on to. And I've had so many women say, you're doing this for all the married women who are so bored with their lives right now. And, you know, are just so, you know, are so sick of the mundane. And as I was going home, it was just such an opposite experience of the last time I had gone to London, where I like didn't want to go home. I was like, the thought of going to Atlanta just makes me want to like rip my skin off. Like there's so much adventure out there. Like I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to travel and I'm going to have adventures. And then on the flip side, as I was checking in my bags, they offered me $2,000 and a free hotel stay to stay another day. And I thought, I want nothing to do with it. I want to go home. And I was thinking about all those women that had DM'd me saying that they were jealous and, you know, wanted some excitement like that in their life. And I just thought they were so jealous of me. And now I am so jealous of them. It is a privilege to get to come home somewhere. And to have that mundane comfort and safety, whether it be a place or a person. And I just thought that I can't wait for my life to feel mundane and safe with somebody.
Abby, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, Abby.
For multiple reasons that you had to have that experience, but also that you had to relive it this morning and we had no idea.
No idea.
So I really commend you for telling the story the way that you did. Like you were an impeccable radio soldier the way you told the story. And obviously we were all so invested. And I want to apologize. We put a lot of pressure on you. And for that, I'm sorry.
Oh my God. First of all, if anybody's listening to this and they're like, Abby should have never had to tell. No, I wanted to tell it. I was really excited. I was nervous to tell it because I was like, sometimes you experience something and you wonder if the nerves or the memories aren't going to come out the way you lived them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I realized until I wrote everything in my notes on the plane. And I don't think until I spoke it out, how deeply this bothered me.
Sure. I know this is a cliche. While it hurts and it's so disappointing for you also and so scary, thank God you dodged a bullet.
Mm-hmm. You really handled it really well.
You really dodged a bullet, man. And I think that there are so many that go through that kind of intoxicating first couple of dates also and might not feel the kind of disappointment that you have because it got dangerous. I feel like this could have been dangerous. You dodged a bullet. And I am so sorry that you had to be so invested in it. I really am. I feel for you.
But I think you have there's so many valuable lessons that young women can take from what you just shared. And that I think there are some out there that would have still excused the behavior or justified the behavior and would have stayed at the club. And then who's to say what would have happened later? But you gave them the signs to look out for. And you knew when to walk away. And hopefully that's going to help other young women and know when to walk away.
I know your story. You wanted it to end with a positive thing so you could give people hope and love, but I think you've given people something more powerful. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's to your own detriment, but you've given people the power to trust themselves. You've told every girl out there who's gone on these dates, who's seeing some red flags, but excusing them because this guy is great. You have just told them it's okay for them to listen to themselves and save themselves from heartbreak down the line.
And you also helped us mundane mothers and wives really appreciate what we have at home.
I think that part of it was excellent how you broke that down. I also would like to say, I hope you don't allow the ending of this story take away from the beginning of how brave you were and how you went out there and did what you did. I think it's inspiring. And I also believe in my heart that the universe rewards people who do things like that. So I think this is just a step back for something even greater in the future. So don't blame yourself and keep your head up.
There is so much for you to be proud of. Mm-hmm. I mean, really. I mean,
so much.
Taking the shot, going for it. And then as Kristen and Cassie said, identifying the signs and not staying and being brave enough to be in your element and know that this is a dangerous situation and walk away. Also knowing that there was so much pressure from so many that were rooting for this also. There's a lot to be proud of, and I hope you are.
Thank you. And I'm very proud of the self-trust that I have with myself because I knew something was wrong, and I always kind of wonder, like, you know, I think it's a very easy question, like, why do women stay? Why do women stay? And I think sometimes we can get caught up in the good parts and the story of it all, and I think this is a perfect example of the story of it all. And if he had been in my hometown, I would have walked away earlier. So I hope that women can see that, and I don't really know how to end this because I'm a little, yeah.
I'll just say Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.